Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, guys and gals, this is your favorite radio voice guy, and now for America's number one tech socialite and her very own real-life rocket scientist, yes, he is a scholar and a gentleman, it's time for Cairo Queen's Taste of Technology with co-host Juarez Jackson. They talk everything from nanotech to blogging, making technology palatable for everyday people. Ladies and gents, let's hear it for them. Yeah!
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 So
let's hear it for
a highly anticipated show today, and we're probably not going to do a lot of lead-in time, but we're Cairo Queen's Taste of Technology with Juarez Jackson, and we make technology palatable for everyday people. We talk about everything from nanotech to blogging, and today we're going to jump into entertainment and film as it relates to technology. We actually will have a guest later on today who is... a celebrity in her own right. She is famous worldwide because she was the original author of The Matrix. Before we get to that,
right.
Juarez, where on earth are you?
Where on earth is Juarez? Juarez is in the lovely country of Canada. I am over here in Vancouver, and I'm enjoying myself, enjoying
fancy.
The local cuisine and the local atmosphere. It's just all nice and bubbly in Canada.
Want to go to Canada. So, you know, they say that Drake made Canada $3 billion just by talking about it.
I can imagine. And Drake also owes Jamaica
Toronto,
a lot of
right?
money because, yeah, he's from Toronto, but Drake has stolen most of his beats and most of his samples are coming from Jamaican artists, which Drake has not given credit to. So this is right on topic, speaking of Drake and his proliferation of continuing to use Jamaican beats and Jamaican hooks and not giving people credit. So this actually goes right into what we're talking about today. Shout out to Drake. You need to pay Beanie Man and all these people that you sampling but not using, and these beats that you're using, it's not yours. We want our, like McDonald says, we want our country back. We want our beats back, Drake.
And I say, Mo Fire.
More fire. You can't say Mo, though. So Mo is kind of like an American. Yeah, say more fire. So you have to get it right.
More
fire. You have to use your
booyaka,
internal.
Booyaka.
Yeah, booyaka, booyaka, right? That's the American way of saying it. But, you know, booyaka, booyaka, like y'all said. Don't have me turn Jamaican on them. I've done it before.
Right.
And, you know, the feedback I get, people have to listen a couple times. That's why I use my American accent, because when the Jamaicans start flowing, it's just another level. But, yes, we're here live and direct. We are in Canada, and we're looking forward to the show today. Technology, there's so much things going on.
Man,
so it's
much.
Always a good day to talk about it.
Okay, so check this out, right? Speaking of technology and reality, have you heard anything about Delta Airlines lately?
That's right.
So
that's right.
For everybody, and I'm not sure, have they announced whether or not this was a hack that happened to Delta Airlines? So for everybody to know that, a friend of mine that's an investment broker, and he called me from the airport. He was stuck in Philadelphia for 24 hours. Because Delta Airlines has shut down all flights worldwide. So they said that there were only 600 flights of some sort that were flying when they normally have 6,000. Because something happened with Delta Airlines system, and it completely shut down. And if Delta shuts down, everybody shuts down worldwide. And that's what actually happened. So people were stranded at all airports, and all connecting flights and all companies that had connecting flights, because they all connect with Delta, all had some type of problem. So business was lost, and this was an epic fail. So they're talking about regulation of airlines right now.
Epic. Yeah, this is, you know, this hits near and dear to me with my, interest and my my degree in aeronautics. I have always found it fascinating. We have so much redundant systems on airplanes, right? You have usually every airplane, unless you're a fighter, sort of like the F-35, you're going to even have redundant engines, right? One engine go out, you have another one come up, right? You have, you know, an auxiliary power unit that can power on and just, you know, run the airplane, you know, if you're, you know, at bay or you know, anything happens, you have redundant everything on an airplane. But you're going to tell me, Delta Airlines, that if you lose a computer, then no one can book and you got to go back to paper? Give me a break. This is really, it flies in the face of credible and reasonable people. As far as if you're going to tell me that is why it happened, either you're way too inept as far as handling your business infrastructure, where you have not thought of it and don't have a business continuity plan that says, hey, if one thing goes down, then another thing we have is going to pop.
Come on now.
So either you're inept, right? Either you're inept to not have a redundant system, or you're just telling us what we want to hear, that there was a computer outage and there's something more nefarious that's going on that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, he's the rocket scientist and I'm the tech socialite. You see how we fit together just like this harmonious blend. We're like brother and sister technology. It really works. No pun intended.
That's right.
But anyway, so listen, tying into this conversation made me think of the Yellow Brick Road and how the system could be like a Skynet. And I was actually speaking with Sophia Stewart yesterday, and I asked her, I said, you know, is Google Skynet? And she said she was referring to satellites, but I'm going to have her come on and start talking about that. I think we should take a commercial break. Do you have any updates or anything you want to give right now? Because I know you're always out doing something, getting awards and celebrated by
I am.
As the mayor of technology.
So I would like to encourage people to who have kids from 13 to 18. And I know we have, and I got to speak to you offline, we have one listener that I'm going to give them a free pass to my next event, and we'll figure out how we're going to do that. But the next event that I'm having, I want to encourage people to attend, and it's going to be a fantastic event. It's sponsored by Teachers of Atlanta, and it's going to be just a fantastic event encouraging kids to be engineers and to, you know, make some of this great money that's out here. And more than that, have a job that you love, that you go to every day, and you just can change lives and do magnificent things. So we're talking about a little bit, you know, next week and as we get closer to the October 15th date about what that event will entail and how people can register for the event and all that good stuff. So beyond that, I think the only thing I want to really get into is this conversation. So my sister's name's Sophia. So I'm ready. Come on, Sophia. Come with it.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll bring Sophia Stewart in properly with an awesome introduction and talk about just who she is and what she has done for the entire planet after this commercial break. We'll be right back if you all can stay put, because I know there are a lot of you out there anxious to speak to her. And if you do want to call in, the number for you is 347-633-9769. You have to push 1 to speak on air. Robin, who we didn't say thank you to, our sponsor, who has extended this show 30 minutes. We're going to do 30 minutes of calls just for you guys at 9 o'clock. So stay tuned. If you don't stay tuned, we're not even going to talk to you anymore. So this is our first series, and the first series of the Matrix series with Sophia Stewart is The Truth About the Matrix. The Truth About the Matrix, and we'll be right back after this.
We'll be right back.
Hi, ladies and gents. This is Cairo Queen from Cairo Queen's Taste of Technology with co-host Juarez Jackson. We're on every single Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen, if you want to tune in to us, you want to call us, you want to be a sponsor, reach out to me. You can email me at cairoqueen@gmail.com. That's cairoqueen@gmail.com. Yes, I know. Okay, well, maybe, you know, you may not want to just be on air. You may want to be a sponsor, and you may want to have your own segment in the show. That's a possibility. All you got to do is become a sponsor, and you can join a part of our show. You can even have a commercial done for you. Now, all you have to do to make that happen is contact me directly at 707-500-0198. That number again is 707-500-0198. And it's Cairo Queen. Cairo like Egypt, Queen like Elizabeth. Contact me. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. And see you on Tuesday. Bye now.
Do you desire financial freedom? Are you ready to take your credit score to the 800s? Well, Satori Consulting Group will get you on your way. With education and a simple process, Satori Consulting Group will get you on the right track. Visit them at satoriconsultinggroup.com or call them at 866-783-3119. Satori Consulting Group, where your financial freedom is their goal.
This is Cairo Queen's Taste of Technology with Juarez Jackson. I'm Cairo Queen Tech Socialite. Juarez Jackson is the rocket scientist, and we've been here for about 10 minutes now talking to you, and we have now got to bring on the most fabulous, I mean, let me drum this. I wish we had a drum roll. Let me pull this out for you. If ever in your life you ever had an experience where you created something and it was a masterpiece and you knew it was a masterpiece and you knew it was going to change the world and somebody took it from you, not only did they take it from you, they took it from you and sold it behind your back. Not only did they take it from you and sell it behind your back, but they took it from you, sold it behind your back, and made a whole franchise off of it. Not only did they take it from you, sell it behind your back, and make a whole franchise off of it, but they made millions, and you never even saw a dime of that. And you just happen to be walking around. You see it somewhere, and you see it in your face, and you know it's yours. And then the whole world tries to tell you, it's not yours, but you know it's yours. When you go to court and prove that it's yours, when you take them to the hole and make them tell the world it's yours, when you do legal action to take everything that they did and make you now get credit for what it was that they claimed that they created, when you know it was your ingenuity, especially because they didn't even bring you into it, oh, yeah. This is what we're talking about today, the truth about the Matrix. And we have the Oracle. Now, everybody loves the Matrix. Everybody knows who the Oracle is. And for those of you that don't know, I have to tell you, get the book, The Third Eye. We want to introduce to you the globally celebrated original author, the one and only Oracle, Sophia Stewart. And thank you for coming to our show, Sophia Stewart.
Yes, hi, how you doing? I'm going to have to make some corrections there. The Matrix franchise has made billions of dollars. Billions, not millions.
Billions.
Billions. How about over $100 billion between the two, Terminator and the Matrix franchises? Matrix 1 by itself, when it first came out, made over $1 billion by itself. How do I know? Because ABC interviewed me and told the whole world. And then another correction I want to make is that you said I didn't get a dime. That's not correct. I have been selling Matrix and Terminator since 2005. The new fourth installment is out of the Matrix 4 Evolution. that's selling on my website, truthaboutmatrix.com, and Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and a whole lot of other bookstores that I have licensing deals with. And I want people to know that I am Sophia Stewart, the author, the writer, the creator, and the owner of the Matrix and Terminator franchise, as validated by my second court case, my win on September the 25th, 2014. And that's been held from everybody. The whole shadow's been pulled down over everybody's face. But I won, and the judges validated that the defendants in the first court case, Warner Brothers, Fox, James Cameron, Gail Ann Hurd, Andy and Larry Wachowski's males, and Joel Silvers and Hemdale Films and Pacific Western Production all stole my copyrighted work. And that there are prison terms still hanging over their heads. And the reason why they haven't gone to jail yet and you haven't heard about this is because they've been paying off slush fund payoffs and bribes. And my work was, the theft was validated by the Department of Justice and also the FBI back in 2001, 1999 and 2001. So you guys need to be brought up to date. The documents or legal documents are on my website, truthaboutmatrix.com. You can read and see the judge's rulings on there. You can see the money I've won. You can see the $3.4 billion in liens. And there was over 35 spectators who was there at the court, 35 spectators, three court clerks, one court reporter, four media outlets covered it, and one Navy SEAL from Team 6 was even there. Four to five FBI agents and marshals with guns on. It was filled to the brim. June 25th, 2014.
Understand, I'm gonna refer to her as Dr. Stewart because I just don't feel like we have given her enough praise for the work that she has done worldwide. I mean, if you understand what type of impact that she made, this is a lady who changed the thinking of the world. And you got to think about that. And I have to say that I misspoke when I said millions. I meant to say billions. And when I was speaking about the money, I was talking about before you saw it in the movie theater. So that's what I was talking about. Because I know for a fact you are the winner. You are not only the winner, you are our champion, and this speaks to so many legal cases that are out and so many industries that are out, but specifically for Hollywood. Can you give us the rundown of the story, Dr. Stewart?
Yes, I can, but first I want people to know that even Warner Brothers have offered me $30 million for the Matrix 4 script. And it's been 13 years since any Matrix have been on the screen. The last Matrix was in 2003, 13 years ago, since 2016. So what I'm telling people is that the whole world, my work went around the globe, is globally and internationally known. I have over 200 and some million fans following me globally. I've won several awards. I've done speaking engagements with the NAACP and won the Rosa Parks Award from them in 2005. Here in Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Music Award, an empowerment award in 2006. And I did my first red carpet that you guys see me with Lawrence Fishburne, who played Morpheus.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the pictures that you see on the internet. I did that red carpet with him and Sylvester Stallone and the late Dennis Hopper and some other celebrities. And it was over 100 media outlets where I first got introduced. I mean, and once they found out it was me, I mean, they went completely crazy because they had heard about me. But that was the first time my red carpet and them meeting me, the press, the media.
Mm-hmm.
And I also won the Oneness Award. That's an award that Muhammad Ali won, and the Princess Diana, and Nelson Mandela, just to name a few. I won that in 2007. Then in 2013, from Rutgers University, Women in Media, I won a Valiant Writer Award from them, and that was March the 9th, 2013. Then I also won an award from LinkedIn, the social network, in 2012, being in the top 1% of the most viewed profile out of 200 million people.
Wow.
That's right. And
so there are
millions
of fans.
Yeah, and I just recently won from Women's of Wealth magazine, April 29th, 2016. I just won the award, a Courage Award, and also a citation from the governor of Nevada, which they're going to be giving to me soon, the second one. But I already got the first one because they had their award dinner and show, which I got the Courage Award on April 29, 2016, with several other people, including Sherry Gordy, Barry Gordy's baby daughter, Sherry Gordy. She
mm-hmm.
also won an award that night when I got mine, and I'm a friend of hers also. So you guys out there, y'all have been behind times because they've been covering up this because it's a humiliation for them. Because what happened
mm-hmm.
was on my first court case, they shut that case down. They didn't win, and I didn't lose. What people didn't know is that they needed that case to be shut down and dismissed and not be prosecuted and go to trial or go to court because they were going to go to jail. There was a black judge, the first judge on my case, Terry Hatter Jr. And the late Johnny Cochran died before he could finish my case because he called for my case and he told me that Judge Hatter would bend over backwards, and he's a black judge, to make sure that I would get justice. And
mm-hmm.
what happened was, a lot of people need to know, I didn't go to court to win my rights. I already had my rights. I already owned the Matrix and Terminator when I went to court. What happened was I saw the movie back in 1999, March the 31st, the national release of the Matrix. I had never seen The Terminator. To this day, I have not seen it. Didn't know anything about it because at that time I was getting married or was married with a kid. And so I did not, I was not going to the movies. And so I never knew that they had used my work for that. What happened was while I was at USC Film School, I have a degree in journalism, a double major in law and psychology. So I went to USC Film School, and I had saw Star Wars, but Star Wars was not my inspiration. God was my inspiration. And Muhammad Ali was my inspiration because the Neo character is based on Muhammad Ali, whom I was engaged to marry in 1982.
Oh, wow.
And Muhammad Ali was very – yes. And Muhammad Ali was very instrumental – And introducing me to many directors and producers and prominent people at that particular period of time while I'm at USC. And my classmates,
mm-hmm.
they became rich and famous. You guys know a lot of them. They're sports figures like Marcus Allen, who won the Heisman, Marcus Allen and Ronnie Lott, James Sinclair, August Turley, Dennis Johnson, the Moore brothers, and among others. They went to school with me at USC Film School and classes. Charles White was on his way out. He was a Heisman winner. He was on his way out when I came in, and they introduced me to him. So I want you guys to know that I'm a New Yorker. I'm from New York City, but I went to school in California. But I already had a distinguished career from New York. Because I was
mm-hmm.
had worked for television, Channel 13, with an Oscar award-winning producer, Perry Miller Adatto. And I had worked for a national magazine out from New York City, so I was a West Coast correspondent. And then when I was in California going to USC, I was working for the studios, Columbia Pictures, and Vice President Dick Barris's office. And with the producer, Brandon Cahill, who did Fantasy Island. So I was well entrenched in the film business. And I was writing my book at that, and I had written a script. It's called a script treatment. And like I said, I saw Star Wars, and I was looking for George Lucas, the director, because I wanted him to direct my work. And what my work was, the first black science fiction with people of color saving the world. Not the white man saving the world, not Batman, not Superman, not Spider-Man, and not Iron Man, okay? But real live flesh and blood people around the world working as one, like the United Nations, to save the world. First of its kind. Computer is what I wrote was that the metaphorically the second coming of the Christ done in science fiction form, the evolutions of consciousness, and man versus the machine. In other words, it was the oracle prophecy that a baby was going to be born that was going to destroy the machines because the machines had taken over and enslaved mankind. And when you see the Terminator is the prequel to the Matrix, the Matrix is not going to make any sense by itself. And the Terminator is not going to make any sense by itself. But when you put both of them together, and the prequels meaning the beginning of the work. So Terminator is about when the machines, and it's time travel, past, present, and future time travel, the Terminators, the machines coming from their own network of computers and technology, their own planet of high, technology and so forth, they learn about this baby is going to be born to this woman, Sarah Connor. So Sarah Connor is really Neo's mother. So the Terminator time travels from the future to the past to kill the woman who's going to have the baby that's going to destroy them in the future. And this baby, Neo, the one, because the Christ was the only one called the one, and it's not the first coming of the Christ, but the second coming that the Revelations mentioned, but you never saw a story until you saw The Matrix and Terminator. So J.C., John Connors, grow up to be Neo, one and the same, in The Matrix. And the rebels come and waken him to his journey when he reaches the age of 30 years of age, the revolution or the rebellion starts. And so the rebels come and they find him and they waken him to his purpose and they take him over to Morpheus to train him and to show him the way. And, of course, he goes to see the oracle so he can learn the prophecy of his birth. This is why you see a naked microchip cyborg landing naked without shame because he's a clone machine.
Wow.
And he doesn't even know that he's naked. And there's no way in hell James Cameron, Gale and Hurd, who are not writers, could have come up with this concept. All of the white science fiction writers, Rod Serling, Gene Roddenberry, Wes Craven, Ray Bradbury, Joseph Stefano, just to name a few, they were all still working from the old Iron Age concept of H.B. Wells, metal clinkety-clink. They were still working on metal robots when I introduced, for the first time on the screen, a clone microchip naked cyborg. You know, killed but cannot be killed, wrapped in flesh, looking just like humans. The artificial intelligence, the AI, for the first time on a chip, microchips on the screen. Because those old white science fiction writers, they were not putting nothing naked on the screen. They wasn't even putting a husband and wife in the same bed. Husband and wife had to be in twin beds. They wasn't even putting anybody on the toilet. Go back in your mind. Go back in your subconscious and remember all the old science fiction. And white artwork and white science fiction, there are no black people because they feel like there are no black people in the future. There's only one or two black people that's in the beginning of a white science fiction story, and they usually die out the first 10 to 20 minutes of the story. And they're the cause of the problem, but they are not in any leadership role. You need to know that. Now, in the Matrix, you've never seen as many black people in leadership role, and the white guys, the virus, Agent Smith and all the white guys, the government agents, are the bad guys in the movie. You see blacks, Morpheus, Lawrence Fishburne, the Gloria Foster, the Oracle. You know what I'm talking about? Marcus Chong, Anthony Parker, Roy Jones, the boxer, Carnell West, David Keith, Nona Gay, Henry Tureen. I may be pronouncing his last name wrong, but all of these black people you have never, ever seen in any white science fiction and any leadership role. I don't
Indeed.
Understand one thing. How in the hell can you not know this is a black science fiction? They wrote about me in the newspapers back in 1981, the Los Angeles Sentinel, talking about this and that Muhammad Ali was the role model for the Neo character. This is why they asked Will Smith to play the role. Not because Will was black, but because he had portrayed Muhammad Ali in the Ali movie story. And they wanted O.J. Simpson to play the Terminator. Of course, Schwarzenegger ran in up under him. That's right. And you could go on YouTube and look up Schwarzenegger bragging about how he ran under O.J. Simpson to steal the role of the Terminator. And that's right. It's on YouTube.
This is amazing.
Google it, because it's there. Everything I'm speaking about, now it makes to you. This is why you love The Matrix. This is why The Matrix is loved internationally, globally, because it's the UN. Carrie Ann Moss is Canadian. Keanu Reeves, his father is Asian Polynesian. You guys need to recognize this information. When you saw Matrix 2 and 3, they tried to whitewash it. They tried to reverse it. They even put out blogs where they're trying to say the virus, Agent Smith, was really the good guy. He was the one, not Neo. And what you saw in that wreck of a Terminator Genesis where Schwarzenegger, the machine, tries to be Sarah Connor's father or grandfather, Pop Terminator. And nobody swallowed that garbage. Nobody swallows the bad guy, the killer, as being the good guy. Yeah, Pop's Terminator. it was comical.
And so for people who don't understand, both of these cases are now, and if you're a person that's tuned in and you've been tuned out of this entirely, if you're a person that literally has no idea as to what she's talking about, let's encourage you now to Google the information about Sophia Stewart and the federal law case that is blooming in Hollywood right now. It's blooming around the whole country because this has become a massive injustice, not just to Sophia Stewart, but to all of us who believed all of this. So we believed all of this for years, and this was actually her work. And so when you look and you say there was an identity that was assigned here that was wrongfully assigned, think about that. So now when you get in the space of understanding how deep this is actually going, this is not just theft. This is not just embezzlement. This is crazy. You actually have people calling in to ask questions, Dr. Stewart. You can continue. I just want to get people to go look it up and buy the book, The Third Eye. Let's talk about The Third Eye
and
The Matrix 4.
And The Matrix 4 book. Yeah, and The Matrix 4, because there's actually more than one book. The Third Eye book is where it all began, and The Matrix 4 book is the fourth installment. Soon, The Matrix 4 movie coming, so you definitely want to pick up The Matrix 4. Because all those who love The Matrix, you're going to get your continuation of The Matrix. That's what the real creator does. They continue their work. They don't go and try to adapt and sell other people's work and try to kill out the characters. No creator does that, kill his own children. But go ahead. It's true. No creator kills their own children. If it's broke, you don't fix it. And if it's making billions of dollars, why would you kill it? And if it's your work, The Matrix, which is making billions, and Terminator making billions of dollars, why would you stop the work and go and adapt Alan Moore, the English writer Alan Moore's work, V for Vendetta? Why would you adapt Cloud Atlas, which is the book of the author David Mitchell's book, because V for Vendetta is Alan Moore's book, and Speed Racer is the Japanese writer's work that's been out since the 50s and the 60s, and Bound was somebody else's work. So why and The Matrix was my work. Then you come up with your own work, Jupiter Ascending, and it crashes. It bombs. It shows that you can't even write.
It did bomb.
Then you try to change, then you try to change your identity because you're scared about going to jail and getting raped. So you want to come in where they can put you in protective part of the jail by pretending you're women, by trying to get the transsexuals.
That's
because
you're
never going to be a woman because you don't have a womb. You can't have a baby. The difference between a man and a woman is the womb. Don't be dummy down. Don't say it's politically correct. It's a politely a lie. Because your fingerprints and the fact that you never have a womb proves to any court that you were born a male and that's what you will die as. Because you can never change your fingerprints. And there is no doctor, I don't care how much money you pay him, can give you a womb where you can have a baby.
Okay,
the only
Dr.
ones that
have
got a womb
actually,
is a woman.
Dr.
Yes,
Sue, you actually have a caller now. And so for everybody out there, 347-633-9769 is your number. You have to press number 1. We do have a caller on the line. We do have a caller on the line. Caller, are
Hello.
You with us?
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Hey, Steve
we
Brown.
We hear you. Hi there, Steve Brown. How are you?
How's it going?
Wonderful. We're doing awesome.
Oh,
Steve
great.
Used to be the other co-host on the show when we first started and is a big sci-fi fan and a big techie. He's our resident tech geek. Steve Brown was on a couple of weeks. So
That's
Steve
right.
Brown has a question for Dr. Stewart.
Oh, that
hey,
would be
Dr.
wonderful.
Stewart. How are
you?
Know,
how you doing? I'm doing,
doing
well, thank
fun.
You.
Awesome, awesome. I just tagged in, and I know you may have covered this topic already. But your knowledge is phenomenal. And I'm you know, Carol's talked about
you
a lot. She's talked about you a lot. And you're, like I said, your knowledge is awesome. I had a question. I haven't had a chance to read your book yet, but I wanted to know, now you may have touched on this subject already, but in the second Matrix, what was your explanation of the Matrix? Because at the end of the second Matrix, it was, you know, it was very convoluted. It was very confusing. A lot of people didn't, you know, really get when the white cat was sitting in the room with the white suit on, and he was trying to explain to Neo like what the Matrix actually was and the seven
the
versions.
Maker.
Excuse me, the Maker was sitting
well,
in the six
I mean,
versions. What was your version?
Let me explain this to you. No, listen, it's no version. I have a version. They have a version. They didn't write anything, period. You guys need to wake up and realize that these people are master illusionists. They don't write. They buy work. If they don't get any source work to buy, they have to go on strike. That's why the writers go on strike. If Hollywood could create their own content, there would be no need to buy it or steal it. So you guys need to wake up and realize that when you see movies on the screen, they're coming from people's books and scripts, and that these
right.
people did not create anything. When you see Lord of the Rings, that's J.R. Tolkien's book. When
right.
you see Gravity, that's the Japanese woman's book. When you see Maze, that's another author's work, and they adapt the movie from the book and the script, but they didn't create that.
So
there's
so
no version, their version
yeah.
and my version. Now, what happened was, they tried to change the concept from the original concept and make it their own. And what they did was just created a lot of convoluted, lucid things like a dream. So in The Matrix 4, I said 2 and 3 was nothing but a dream. That Neo and Trinity never died. They're soulmates. They both wake up and they're discussing their dream, and the saga continues. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Because 2 and 3 doesn't make any sense. It's convoluted. It's lucid. It's a lot of old karate killing and fighting and ignorance. But
right,
it doesn't
right.
have any. It has any. It doesn't have any concept. It doesn't have any theme to it. So this
right.
is why I had to do away with it. Because the fan base saw it, and then when you look in the dream state, the architect is nothing but the devil. That's what an architect is, because here on Earth, the architect created all these illusions and lies. When the Christ consciousness was hungering in the wilderness for 40 days, the devil, the architect, said, look at all these kingdoms upon the Earth. He said, they're mine to give. He said, they're mine to give, because he had created them. He said, bow down and worship me, and they will be yours. And this is what he's told all these people that have sold their souls to these kingdoms that are illusionary. And when they die, they leave $300 million, or they leave $1 billion, or they leave $200 or $300 million, or $500 million, whatever, because you can't take it with you. That's what's illusionary about it. You can't take it with you. So what does it profit you to gain the world and sell your soul when you can't take it with you?
Pow.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point of that scripture. And when you see the architect, that's all the architect is. He's a deceiver. Because what did he come to do? He came to lie, kill, and steal. He came to deceive you. Deception.
So,
and what is an illusion but a deception? Go ahead.
Okay, so a quick question. Okay, so what exactly, since you are the author, what exactly in your mind is the matrix? What is the seven, what are the seven steps or the seven levels
that
of
comes
the matrix?
That comes from the Bible. It doesn't have nothing
that
to do
comes
with
from Revelation.
That comes
okay.
from Revelation.
Doesn't it?
You need to go into the Bible, yes.
Right.
Because what it's talking about in Revelation is that there were seven Adamas. There were seven Adams. There were seven Adams, and that Christ wasn't the first Adam.
Wasn't the first, right.
You see what I'm, and what they're talking about is the not the Adamas, but they're talking about the atom. A-T-O-M. Because when you go
so
to
is that
Genesis,
is that why God created the earth in 7 days? Is that where that comes from?
Exactly. God created it in 7 days.
How?
And let me break it down for you. Let me really break it down for you. If you go to Genesis is not a word. It's an anagram that the witches and the warlocks use. Because they use fail. That's why you got your butt beat in school when you didn't miss your spelling. Because Hollywood puts spells on people with illusions, and that's what the media is about. The media, the airwaves, that's the airwaves that in Revelations that God was speaking about that Satan would use to deceive you. The airwaves
is
the television and the radio and the newspaper and the corporations and the banks.
Right.
This is what the real Matrix is really about. Except I put it in a science fiction form. It's about the Illuminatis and the Masons. Do you see what I'm talking about? Because I'm talking about digital downloading. I'm talking about barcodes. I'm talking about body scanner, food scanners, computerized warfare with the drones. All of this 30 years ago, and you can look at the copyrights. The copyrights are with the book. They were there with the work. So they know where I lived. I'm from Bronx, New York. Do you see what I'm talking about? So I'm breaking down the matrix, and so when you see the matrix, when you look at the second and third, you're confused.
I studied the matrix. Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and you know 2 and 3 is whitewashed. It's the same thing that you get some brown and black bread, and you make white bread. Well, white bread turns into glue. It has no nutrients. It's glue. You can make glue out of it and glue something. And then when you take brown rice and make it into white rice, it has no nutrients. You stripped it of any vitamins. And when you take sugar, like sugar cane, it's brown. And you take it and you strip it, you make white sugar, brown rice, and brown white bread. White bread, white rice, white sugar. Well, that's what 2 and 3 is. They're trying to make a white matrix, but it doesn't make any sense because in a white matrix, the white man can't dominate because
right.
the real
the dominant
matrix
gene.
Is that it's not the dominant gene. The real truth is people of color that is saving this world. It's
right.
the United Nations. It's all of us here in America. And we're all different people, different
mm-hmm.
colors. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
the rainbow.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we're making a difference in each other's lives. It is in this white man thing. The white man has been pumping that concept for years on everybody, that they were the greatest, that they were
mm-hmm.
the smartest, that we want to keep
right.
black people and other races and other colors out of Hollywood. We'd rather steal their properties, their intellectual properties, which is as much as worth your cars or more, or your house
right.
and more. It's right. property that's very valuable, and it's supposed to be protected by the government.
Yeah.
The FBI, you pay $65 or whatever you pay to get your work copyrighted, and you're supposed to be protected. But look, the studios are protected.
Mm-hmm.
And you go out and bootleg and counterfeit their products, they have the FBI come and arrest you. Now,
mm-hmm.
I've been selling Matrix and Terminator for years. Have you seen any FBI and DOJ come to arrest me?
Mm-hmm.
I've
right.
been calling them
Not
liars
at all.
And thieves. I've been calling them liars
mm-hmm.
and thieves for years. If you guys don't believe me, go to YouTube. I've been interviewing
mm-hmm.
since 2003, since ABC broke my story. For 13 years,
mm-hmm.
over 4,000 media interviews, and they have never said not one word against me. That's right, just people and people that they have paid to smear me and people
okay,
that
okay.
they keep putting out the same old news.
Okay,
go
I
ahead.
Got a quick question. I'm sorry, I got a quick question.
No, that's
all right,
okay.
so when you won your first lawsuit, I don't know if this was your first one, but
I won,
you won
my
the
second lawsuit. I
okay,
won the second
okay.
lawsuit because the first
right.
lawsuit, they shut it down. They paid
right, right,
two
right
white
that.
Law firms to come in and sabotage the case to keep
I
them
know.
From going to jail. That's right.
I heard about that. Right. Now, when you won your second lawsuit, what grounds
yes.
did you add on what evidence did you actually were you actually able to prove your case? Like, what did you bring in there and say? Because when I checked online, when I pulled up the cases, right, they omitted the evidence. That caused
yeah, that
you
was
to
in
win.
The first, that was the first court case.
Okay.
They omitted
well,
the evidence in the. Let me tell you, wait, let me explain to you. What's your
okay.
name?
Steve Brown.
What's your name? Steve, listen to that closely. The first court case, the lawyers were paid to keep any evidence from being entered in, to keep me out of the court where I couldn't come in for no hearings, no deposition, where I couldn't even get on the witness stand.
Now, that isn't that illegal?
Listen. Yeah, I got them for that. You got to listen.
Okay.
Because listen very carefully. Even if you don't put in any evidence, even if you don't do any deposition, even if you don't, you know, you have a right to get on the witness stand and witness. Because
right.
the
right.
affidavit, that assures you the winner. The judge
right.
in her 50-page ruling said that I didn't even have to do anything but put in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have gotten me the damages. I wasn't going to court people. I'm a paralegal. I won on my own pro se. I studied law under the Brooklyn Manhattan Attorney, so I have a degree in it because I was studying to be a lawyer. But what you guys need to know is that you don't have to, I wasn't going to court for to prove that I owned it and I had the copyright.
Mm-hmm.
That was already
You already had it.
Because the FBI,
right.
yeah, I already had it. The FBI had already validated the theft. But they didn't
mm-hmm.
prosecute them. The U.S. Attorney's Office got bought out. I went to court for the damages because that's the only thing you can go to court for. You can't go to court to prove you got a house. You got the deed.
Right.
You
and you know what?
You
know, Sophia, I want to
yes.
interject here because I think that this is one of the most prolific legal things that has been happening for centuries. I'm not talking about
yes.
today, yesterday. I'm talking about for centuries. You can, you know, I've had this happen to me, per se, when someone outright stole from me. I have my work that
yes.
I've done, and when the police come, they said, well, that's a civil matter. You have to take that up in civil court, and you have to. And then when I go to court, Exactly. And then when I go to court, I show the judge that, hey, you know, this happened to me. I have proof right here. I have pictures. The judge looks at me, looks at somebody who could be their brother and says, you know what? Case dismissed. And I have no repercussion but to just sit there down on my laurels and say, oh, well, I spent my money.
No,
I'll give you an example.
Let me explain something about that. That's the racist Ku Klux Klan system stealing your property. And the judges and the lawyers and the law enforcement, this is who the real Ku Klux Klansmen are. They were the ones who were breaking the law. The very people in 1865 who had sworn to uphold the law, they put on the sheet. This is how the Ku Klux Klan was born. But right now they feel like they can steal everybody's work, people of color, because they're still operating as the Klans, but now they're wearing Book Brothers suits. Now they're wearing judges' robes. Now they're wearing police uniforms. What do you think all this killing is about? Those people are KKK. They're Ku Klux Klansmen with blue uniforms on. That judge that stole your property and helped them to steal, he was a Ku Klux Klansman.
I have no doubt about that. And people,
let me tell you something. You know that's not a civil matter. If somebody steals your car, somebody steals your house, your money, that's not a civil matter. That's nothing for you to go to court. Because when you steal from the rich, they come and arrest you. Why don't you tell them, don't come to arrest me, that's a civil matter. Tell them to come and file a lawsuit on me. You can arrest on them.
Right.
Yeah, because the studios, listen to me, you guys. When Kim.com was stealing from the studios, they had the FBI to go to New Zealand. New Zealand don't have any extradition laws. So how in the hell did they go over there and arrest that man and steal and put levies on his bank account and took his property, his car, his wealth, and everything?
Rewrite the law.
But why didn't the government say to Kim.com, this is a civil matter, take him to court?
Okay, now we have we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to find out what the definition of the Matrix is. For people out there that don't know, and you haven't read, and you haven't read the Bible, we're going to find out what the definition of the Matrix is. We're going to take a quick commercial break and come right back with the original author, the owner of, the founder and creator, and just outright fabulous woman. This is the Oracle, Sophia Stewart, the Matrix. And what really has happened to the Matrix? The federal lawsuit, and wow, we've been wowed by a lot of information. So Cairo Queen Chase of Technology with Juarez Jackson. We'll be right back after this.
You've seen her on television.
I really have a passion for the image of women of color on TV.
On stage.
When you are doing Broadway, you are so talented because you can usually act, sing, dance, and write.
And in the movies.
When you're making movies, you are Hollywood royalty.
Now be prepared to be entertained as Cheryl Lee Ralph brings her special brand of entertainment to radio.
Hi there, this is Cheryl Lee Ralph, and welcome to another 60 Minutes with me, your diva, divinely inspired, victoriously alive radio, real talk on Diva Talk Radio.
Diva Talk Radio, talk radio that's real.
Hi, ladies and gents. This is Cairo Queen from Cairo Queen's Taste of Technology with co-host Juarez Jackson. We're on every single Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen, if you want to tune in to us, you want to call us, you want to be a sponsor, reach out to me. You can email me at cairoqueen@gmail.com. That's cairoqueen@gmail.com. Yes, I know. Okay, well, maybe, you know, you may not want to just be on air. You may want to be a sponsor, and you may want to have your own segment in the show. That's a possibility. All you got to do is become a sponsor, and you can join a part of our show. You can even have a commercial done for you. Now, all you have to do to make that happen is contact me directly at 707-500-0198. That number again is 707-500-0198. 800-500-0198. And it's Cairo Queen. Cairo like Egypt, Queen like Elizabeth. Contact me. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. And see you on Tuesday. Bye now.
Cairo Queen takes the technology with Juarez Jackson. We make technology palatable for everyday people. We talk everything from nanotech to blogging. And we are here now with Sophia Stewart. And she is the original mind, the creator of, and the oracle from The Matrix, the beloved movie that everybody loves. Everybody world-renowned, millions of followers. Billions of dollars that was generated, and we're now talking about a federal lawsuit that she is in and has taken on to not only combat the industry, but taking on, you know, the rights of people and the owning their property and fighting people who are stealing your stuff from you. So we're talking about that right now. She is just amazing, giving us a lot of information. What I want to ask right now, Dr. Stewart, is can you give us the definition? I mean, I know, you know, we've talked about this, but I know the definition. For anybody that doesn't understand, what is the Matrix?
Am I unmuted?
Hello? Yes.
You are, yes.
Yes,
okay,
we hear you.
Because they had muted me first, so yet I didn't hear it unmute.
Yeah, just during the break.
Like I told you, the Matrix is the story of the second coming of the Christ coming back. Because in Revelations, it said that he would come back. This is why you hear when the rebels tell Neo, you're my personal savior. It's a hero's journey and the adversity that he has to overcome and how he ascends into his fourth dimensional body, his light body. And when you see him flying, he's not Superman. And when you see him touching the mirror, he's able to transcend dimensions. And he's able to, where bullets don't hurt him. And when he jumps into the virus, which is Agent Smith, matter going into antimatter, and that's what a virus is against. It's against nature. It's against God. It's against everything natural. He blows up. And then when people, when you're going to see in Matrix 4, fourth installment, people going through his body in the opposite direction, and they are healed. They are resurrected, meaning that if – go ahead.
I was about to say, are you involved with the fourth installment coming out?
I'm definitely going to be involved and have some creative control, but, like, again, it doesn't mean that my work wasn't adapted correctly in the first Matrix because I wasn't present, because a lot of the writers that you know – that they've used, taken their work, whether they bought it or stole it, have not had any creative control. This is something you guys don't know. When you're doing a movie on your own, it's called a Paul Kettle movie. But Matrix is $150 million to $200 million, CGI special effects. Because what you see in the Matrix is the graphics, the special effects, the red and the blue peel. I will be back, you know, those direct quotes and stuff. But they came from me. The numbers raining down, because when you go to Kemet and you look at the hieroglyphics are the numbers. It's the binary codes, the one and the zero, because they taught the Greeks and the others their mathematics and their science.
So that's where you got that from hieroglyphics. And I noticed too, because encryption is read right to left, not left to right. I noticed that too in the major, and I know that, and the Egyptians did that too. That's where they got that from. Basically, like you were saying,
they got
all
it from me because I'm incorporated. I not only did special effects and the graphics. They come from me. They stole this from me. They didn't create that. When you get my book, you will see these graphics and special effects.
Right.
You'll see the hieroglyphics and the binary codes. Do you see what I'm talking about? And I'll be back. We'll be back. Because he comes back as three different cyborgs. You will see the breakdown. You will see the pictures. They stole the pictures blatantly. right out of the book.
Okay.
I mean, there's
a lot of fans
around the world who knows this, you know. But let me tell you what they try to say. Can I just say one thing?
Go ahead.
Sure. They try to say, listen carefully, they try to say that the numbers and the hieroglyphics and the martial arts came from the Asians and from the Greeks, but that's a lie. Mm-hmm. Kemet come before the Greeks. Kemet come before the Asians. So we had we taught them that. But they try to tell the other white races here that the Greeks and these other people came up with that. That's the lie.
Mm.
See, because a lot of people of color don't even know their history. They don't know where all the symbolism. They just think that since these whites have discovered this from others and they use it and put their names on it, people assume that it comes from them.
Right.
But go ahead, you guys, ask the question.
So, Dr. Stewart, when I was talking about the Matrix, the actual word itself is a biblical reference, and that's what I was going to. The actual word is a biblical reference.
I
want to
break that down. I want to break that down for people because they don't even know this. The word Matrix, they didn't even know. These two guys didn't even know, and James Cameron and Gail Ann Hurd didn't know that Matrix is a biblical word from the Bible, over 7,000-year-old word. In the King James's Bible, it's mentioned 5 times. In Exodus 34th chapter, 19th verse, God says he who opens up the matrix, the woman's womb, is his children, born his children, and the animals, 3D, three-dimensional. Because when man started to create his own children, when a third of the angels fell upon the earth, and they saw God's three-dimensional children, and I'm going to go into the 3D, because for the first 11 weeks, you're nothing but blood, water, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and at the 12th week, the woman is eating from the earth. She's eating from the garden, the plants, the food. That's eating from the dirt of the earth to create a body, a physical body, which is 2D. And this body is going to come out in 36 weeks or 9 months. But at 12 weeks, the soul, which is the magnetism, the vibrancy, the vibrations, the magnet, you heard of magnets, magnets hold things together. Well, that's what magnetism is. It holds things together. It gives you the vibrancy. It makes your body healthy, young, wonderful, healthy. You see what I'm saying? So at 12 weeks, the soul attaches. That's the third body. So this is why a doctor won't perform an abortion at 12 weeks because he's killing a living soul. He's killing a living soul. Now, he'll perform the abortion up to 11 weeks. You know why? Because it's nothing but blood, water, and spirit. And so that just is the same thing when a woman has her cycle, and and it doesn't go into 9 months to have a baby. She has a cycle every month, and if it doesn't make a baby, it's flushed out. All it is blood and water. You know what I'm talking about, preparing for a physical vehicle to come into this earth.
Right.
So this is very important because when I start speaking about this on my other interviews and telling people where the word matrix come from, that it could not come from these people because they didn't even know that matrix was in the Bible. They didn't even know that Christ was called the one, that Jesus was the only one called the one. They try to say that Neo, I told them Neo is nothing but an anagram, a sneaky way of calling him the one, N-E-O-O-N-E. And Trafini's name is the Trinity. That's where they got Trinity from, because that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the mother's name was Isis, not Sarah Connor, but Isis. Sarah came from the maid, and she worked in the diner, the waitress. She was the waitress that James Cameron was married to, his first wife. Was a waitress, and he used.
You mean the girl, the waitress?
Isis.
You mean the waitress at the burger place?
No, I don't know if she worked at a burger place
no.
or a diner, but she was a
that
waitress.
That
was
James Cameron's first wife.
James Cameron's first wife. Listen carefully.
Was named Sarah.
Was named Sarah. So he named the character Sarah, but her name was Isis. Isis in the baby Heru, Horus, is what the Pope used to bow down to, which he still bows down to this day. The baby Horus or Heru, Jesus, you know what I'm talking about? Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They
just, absolutely.
They angleize the name. They angleize the name. This is where you see in the movies, Roots, where they try to angleize your name. When Kuti Kinte said, my name is not Toby, it's Kuti Kinte, because they were trying to lower his vibrations with a white man's name to make him a slave. That's why I don't use the word African. I'm no African-American. Hell, I'm an American, because African is a white man's name. I refuse, like Muhammad Ali, to take a white man's name. It lures your vibrations. My name is not Cassius Clay. It's Muhammad Ali. You got sense? You know what's going on. When they angleize your name, they're lowering your vibrations. Now, a lot of Jews turn around and angleize their names, like Stan Lee. That's not his real name. He's Jewish. Like the guy that claimed he wrote Superman, his name is Joel something. He has a Jewish last name. But they angleize their names and turn them into white names to raise up their vibrations and to make people think they're white. And in doing the reverse to black people, when they try to give you a slave name, your name can't be heard in heaven, and they know that. It lowers your vibration. That's why Muhammad Ali's name shot to stardom, went above the stars, went into the heavens. But he wasn't going nowhere with that white name, Cassius Clay. And my name is black, Sophia. My name comes all the way from the Bible. Do you remember Sophia? Philosophy, pie, wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember wisdom? Mm-hmm. It's great. It's black, wisdom. You see what I'm talking about? But they try to angleize it and call me a white name. And I'm like, don't call me that white name. Don't lower my vibrations. My name needs to be heard in heaven. I'm like Muhammad Ali. Don't whitenize my, don't, because everything that they turn into white, it loses its value. Just like brown rice. It's healthy brown rice. But when you eat white rice, it has no value, no nutrients. It's not doing anything for your body.
So let me ask you. So where do you think the movie industry is right now? Because it's so satanic now, it's like it's hard, it's not even bearable right now. You know what I mean? Like
Let me tell you what's going on there. All the people, black people, you've been kept out of Hollywood. Because they lied and they said, we keep black people out of Hollywood because their movies can't make any money. So when they wanted to make some money off of black movies, they would put black movies out like you saw with the James Brown story. But they didn't have no black writers. They had white directors. They had white producers. They had white writers. When you see black content on the commercials, they're using black people with voiceovers. So black people can't make any money. So Hollywood is thinking now, because the white people are sick and tired of the white man saving the world. They don't even buy that shit anymore. Excuse my language, but I'm going to be real. White people are sick of it. They want to go see black movies now. They want to identify with black. So now they're looking for black movies to save them, like during the black exploitation era, during the late 70s. Pam Grier, Fred Williams, Dolemite. You guys saw Ron O'Neill, Superfly.
Yeah.
Come on, Richard Roundtree. You guys know this is what saves Hollywood. Now they need black movies. They're looking for black scripts now.
TV shows.
TV shows. Why do you think they got all these black people working on TV now? They are desperate to make money. But everything is swinging back around again. Because let me tell you what they did. They started an affirmative program because the government knew they were being racist. And they told the studios, you're going to have to let some black people in there. Well, they let black people in there, and the government subsidized their paychecks. But the black people couldn't even green light any movies, couldn't do anything. You see all those black people that y'all see with their names, but they ain't doing nothing. They're getting paid a paycheck, but what they're doing is reading newspapers every day because they don't have any autonomy, and the government is subsidizing their paychecks because the studios refuse to just pay them by themselves when they're not going to let them do anything. So now everything is being reversed. their studios, the movie theaters are empty. They're desperate for black now. They really got more black working. Look at there. They got black people that y'all ain't never seen, ever heard of on TV now.
Yeah.
They flooded them with the television. Now, guess what? They're getting ready to flood them with the movie theaters and the movie studios because guess what? They're broke. Look at this. Apple, a $500 billion company, is trying to buy Time Warner, which is Warner Brothers' parent company, for $84 billion and to buy Netflix for $48 billion because Netflix have bad management.
Mm-hmm.
Warner Brothers and them have kept black people out of the whole loop. They got a curse. That's why they got a curse on them. And they're the biggest. They're the biggest of dark movies. They bring on the worst of witchcraft. Why do y'all think they call it Hollywood? Hollywood's the tree that the witches made their wands from. Why do you think they're the great? They're the great imaginative, great illusionists. Look at the movies. You see your favorite actor getting killed, but you know in real life your favorite actor didn't die. They create an illusion. This is why you don't hear about my story, because they don't want black people to have no money. They don't want black people to own anything. And they're killing black people because these are the racist, white supremacist KKK. I called the judge on my case. Both of the judges are Ku Klux Klansmen and a prostitute, the woman judge.
How'd you find that out?
Because God told me. And when God tells me something, I write it. And I wrote it in the legal briefs. If you don't believe it, I'll give you the legal briefs. Many people knew about it.
Yeah.
They were all shocked. But guess what? It made both of the judges leave the bench. They recused themselves. Lawyers were amazed. They were like, oh, my God, how did you get those lawyers to recuse themselves? It's hard to get judges off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
But by the grace of God, I was able to defeat them. And Warner Brothers and them joined that court case. They joined the court case because they asked the judge for the $305,000 legal fees that they didn't get in the California court. In the California court, they lost the California court case.
Hold on. Was this the second case that you won?
No, this is the first. They came to the second court case, but they lost the first court case. Listen to me carefully.
I know
they
you wrote down the first case. I'm going to know about the second one.
I'm going to tell you what. Listen to me. It's very important. They lost the first California case because they terminated out of the case. They didn't answer the complaint. You have 30 days to answer. If you don't answer, you lose by default. They were so scared of going to jail, they optioned out before the judge made the ruling, before the attorneys came in and fixed it. They didn't think it was going to get fixed. So when you see the transcript, I'm going to send it to you. You're going to see they're terminated. They're going to give you the date that they terminated, didn't answer the complaint. That means that when the judge came down with the ruling to dismiss the case, they were not in the case. So you won by default, basically.
Okay.
They've been covering that up. I can prove it. They've been covering that up. Now, let me tell you, on the second court case, since they didn't win the first court case, they didn't win the money, they needed to win that money because they was going to take that money to have the judge in the second court case to award it to them. They tried to fix the second court case. They needed the judge to give them the $305,000, and they were going to make me pay the money. That's right, the legal fees. They were going to make me pay the money. If I couldn't pay the money, they were going to take my copyrights to the Matrix and Terminator and leave of the money. That was their plan. That was their plan, but it backfired on them. Because what I did was I told Obama that they paid out the Matrix money because this one little CPA, he did the same thing that the little CPA or the little accountant did to Al Capone. Al Capone had killed all these people, and he had stolen, he had robbed, he had put out drugs and everything, but they couldn't put him in jail because he had this sharp, smart Jewish lawyer named Cohen. And every time the government tried to get him, Cohen was there. So they set up the Jewish lawyer because he wasn't but a crook. They set him up, and he stole money, and they put him in prison so they could get John Gotti. That's how they got John Gotti, because John Gotti couldn't be taken down either. He was paying plus one money. But Al Capone went to prison when the little CPA said that he didn't pay taxes. So they got him for tax evasion, but what he died of was syphilis.
Right.
He died of syphilis.
Right.
John Gotti died of cancer. John Gotti died of cancer. Jeffrey Dahmer got beat in the head by one of the inmates that was there because he was on death row anyway. He had killed a lot of people. So he killed Dahmer and this other guy. So what I'm trying to tell you is this is how they tried to get me. They tried to get me by coming back into the second court case. That little CPA dropped that they had lost $500 million, a half a billion dollars. Come on now. How can you lose a half a billion dollars when you made $35 billion off of Matrix and merchandising and distribution and all kinds of stuff? You see what I'm talking about? So I told Obama that they took that slush fund money, that half a billion dollars, $500 million, and they paid the judge, which was on my case, D. Benson, whose cousin is Mitt Romney. They gave Mitt Romney $1 billion of the Matrix money to try to beat Obama to become president. And then they paid Eric Holder some of that slush fund money to go behind Obama's back to try to get him out of office. And Boehner, John Boehner. They paid him some of the slush fund money. Well, I told on all of them. And I wrote it in my legal briefs, the money they were taking. And
so,
guess
okay,
what?
So time out.
Wait, you got to
let me ask some questions so you can answer this.
But wait, you got to hear this one thing, and then you can ask all the questions you want.
Okay.
All right.
On the day I won was September the 25th, 2014. That's the day Holder lost his job and he was crying.
Lost his gig.
That was the day that D. Benson lost his job and he was crying. That was the day on the 9th of September was Deborah Corns from the trademark. And this is going to blow your mind. Boehner lost his job on September the 25th, 2015, or a year later, but on the same date. On the same date. Now, is that a coincidence? Come on.
I remember that date.
So,
I remember that.
So you're saying that you informed President Obama that Eric Holder was getting money from the kickback, basically, from what happened with the Matrix and the whole cover up, and that's why Obama yanked Eric Holder out of that position.
That's
so
right.
That,
he told him he either told him to step down or he was going to prison because they were paying him money not to prosecute the Matrix case or none. He was there for 7 years, dude. He didn't prosecute not one case. He didn't prosecute one. And I got him and Boehner both crying and with the same face and look on their face. I put both of their pictures side by side and sent them out to everybody. You think I'm joking? I can send it to you.
I mean, I've seen a lot
of
this
dates.
Stuff.
And I got both of their dates because what I did was I sent it to the DOJ. And as soon as I called the DOJ, Nick, and I gave them the tracking number, it went straight to Obama. And not only that, but look at this. They went through the judge's law firm with their dumb asses. The judge's law firm was called Snow, S-N-O-W, like Snow White. And when you go through a judge's law firm and the judge is on the bench and he takes the money, you're fixing the case. That's his law firm. So I told Obama that they went to the judge's law firm. That's how the judge lost his job. He took slush funds. And guess what? He was a womanizer. He hated women. He was trying to have sex with his clerks. Some of them got fired because they were married. They didn't want to go with that. And guess what? Obama knew all about his little antics. He replaced him with a woman named Jill Parrish. He replaced it because federal judges die out of their posts. They don't leave their posts. They die out of them. But he told everybody he was stepping down because he was sick. No, you die out of the post. That money comes to you until you die. You don't leave or vacate a federal judgeship. If you guys don't believe it, look it up. Look it up.
That's right.
So just to do some quick fact checking, going back to our conversation about Arnold Schwarzenegger, if you look on IMDb.com and the O.J. Simpson reference, I can read this literally. O.J. Simpson was for the Terminator, but the producers feared he was too nice to be taken seriously as a cold-blooded killer in 1990 before Simpson's first trial, Dark Horse Comics, printed issues using his likeness.
See, what I told people they can look it up. You can look up anything that I'm saying, and I can show you the documents in the paper. Because guess what? I like to shut them down. I like to shut them down with the truth. Because, look, I'm being recorded. I've done 4,000 media interviews. I'm recorded. I'm calling them lies and thieves. There ain't nobody filing no lawsuit against Sophia Stewart. There's nobody calling Sophia Stewart a liar, none of these people.
Right.
The only one that's smearing me is the stupid, dumb people that they pay to put crap on the Internet.
Okay, hold on.
And they want
us
to interject.
So,
let me interject here because we only got about 10 minutes left, and I did want to finish with the fact that I did want to tell people Stan Lee's name is Stanley Martin Lieber, by the way. Stanley
right.
Martin Lieber is his real name. But wanted to get into the space where it's like 10 minutes till the end of the show right now for this week, but next week we'll be coming back with our second installment of a four-part series. This was already like super deep as it was, but our second installment as the four-part series.
I got some questions about Terminator because that's one of my favorite movies, though. But
yeah, because
oh, yeah.
And then I want her to read too that Will Smith turned it down to play a white man. He turned the Matrix down. He regrets it to this day. You could call him. He turned it
so
down
he was
to play
Neo.
Yeah, but he turned it down to play Jim West. He turned it down to play Jim West, and he regrets it to this day because Jim West's fan base would not accept Will as a white man. You don't understand. Yeah. They would not accept Will as a white man. So Will is in regrets. If you think I'm joking, look, and you can look it up somewhere. It's online. He'll tell you. His biggest regret is that he did not get in the Matrix. You guys don't have understanding. The biggest celebrities, Jamie Foxx, Michael Jordan, I mean, I could go on and on. This is their favorite movie, The Matrix. Do you guys more?
I know
it.
It's mine.
All of them.
That's my
I
man.
Actually
yeah.
can tell
it's
everybody
taking,
out there.
I've never met a lot of them and taken pictures with them.
Quick question. So what about Kyle Reese? And the Terminator, what did you have any characters that were even remotely similar to that? Like
listen
going
to
back in time.
You're not listening.
No. Hold on. Come on. Come on. I tagged in at the end.
Wait. We only got 8
okay,
minutes
go ahead.
Left.
I was trying to tell them the characters are mine. They're mine.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if you kidnap my kid and give him another name, sweetie. He's still the birth certificate has to come be traced back to me. I can give him a birth certificate. You can steal my baby out of the hospital and call him Bambi. He's still Sophia Stewart's child. Those characters don't matter by Kyle Reese. They're my characters. They didn't create nothing. That's what I keep telling you guys. But you won't know that till you read the book. You guys need to get the Third Eye book and read it and read the fourth installment of The Matrix. Truthaboutmatrix.com or go on Amazon if you want to, because I have licensing deals with a lot of bookstores. So it's your choice.
Okay.
But you guys need to read it, because if you had read the books, you would have even more incredible questions. It will blow your minds what you're going to see. The graphics, the special effects, the concept, the characters, the theme. Verbatim.
So let's get into our closing space because we got about 5 minutes left. And I would say in closing, and I don't even know how we would surmise this segment because next week
oh,
and for the next 3 weeks.
That, before you say that, I want to say one thing. I'm going to break down Oz and the Straw Man. I'm going to break down the Wizard of Oz coming up in part two. I wish I had a few minutes to break some of it down now for your guys right here because that's gonna blow them away.
Everybody who need, if we could do it in 5 minutes, we have 6 minutes to do it. if we can get in that quick summation of Oz, because it was amazing. It was amazing. So we'll go into the Wizard of Oz and Yellow Brick Roads and Ruby Red Slippers next week. But we can start now if you want to go into it.
I'm going to go into it. The Wizard of Oz is the ounces that you weigh, because the wizard is going to make you a slave. And you remember Dorothy was looking for a home, so she was going to the wizard, and the wizard is actually the government, the system. And so Dorothy is going to look for a home, because a lot of people go to the government looking for homes because you know of all that. And so Dorothy is going for a home, but God says the home is inside of us. It's where we lay our heads, so anywhere can be our home. And then the straw man is going to the wizard or the warlock or the government because he needs a brain. He's looking for a brain, but you don't know if you have a brain until you use your brain. And the lion, he's going to the government, to the wizard, the warlock, because he needs some courage. Well, when you ask it into a fight, you're going to find out if you got courage or you're a coward. You're either going to run or you're going to stay there and fight and be courageous. And the tin man, he was going to the wizard, the warlock, or the government, because he needed some love. He needed a heart. Well, this is the way it works. You can't get a heart or unless you give love to someone. And it doesn't matter if that person gives the love back to you, because love is like a boomerang. It's going to come back from that person you gave it to, and not from them, to somebody else. And this is how you find your heart and how you find your love, because you can't get any love unless you give it. And the little dog Toto, he was nature, because this is what nature does. He pulled back the curtain and revealed the fraud. And what was the fraud? It was the white man, the wizard, the warlock. And what was he doing? He was a nutty, old nutty thing, pulling the levers and fooling the people of Emerald City. And Emerald City was a city of money, was the money. And what were they doing? They were following the yellow brick road, which is following the gold to the money. And what was the black and white witches? They were polarity. That's what our lives are, polarity. When the six goes up, it's heaven, it's Venus. When it goes down, it's Mars, it's man, it's war. I want to hit you with a 69, but it's the same number. But when it goes up, it's one way. When it goes down, the yin and the yang. The same way with the witches. And, polarity, the black and white witch. And the little red slippers was the blood. She clicked them three times, remember? And that's the blood that covers and protects us, the blood of the Christ consciousness. So you see what the wizard is? Wizard of Oz? Oz means ounces, how much you weigh, how much I can get slavery, how much free work I can get out of you. This is what this metaphysical movie was talking about. But I'm going to break it down a lot slower where people can ask questions. You see, but this is what the Matrix is teaching you. Because you guys didn't even know this. That's what was in this, did you? You didn't know it was metaphysics. You didn't know
everything
that.
Is metaphysics. Physics. If you study hard enough, you could see every relationship having to do with something. And people
everything's
need to,
connected.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
everything is connected,
yeah.
But you got to wake up. You got to, like, you got to come awake. You got to come unplugged. So you can see the illusions, so you can see what's real and what's fake. Just like the way that when nature comes, it always reveals the fraud. It always reveals what man has created. Because, look, people think that man created a mule, but God didn't create a mule. Man created a mule. What did he do? He took a horse that was strong, you know, tall, big, but was weak, and he took a donkey, which was little and strong. And what did he crossbred him? And he made a mule. But a mule can't duplicate itself. It's soulless. It's seedless. Just like seedless watermelon. Because God didn't make the seedless watermelon, because everything that God made and created was a seed. So it could continue the cycle of life. But when man creates something, a clone can't have a baby. It's seedless. It's soulless.
Okay, so
I bet you
next
guys
week we're going to come back with the... Next week, we're going to come back with the Yellow Brick Road. Thank you to our guest, Sophia Stewart, the author and originator, the oracle of The Matrix and Terminator. So we're going to come back. Thank you to our caller, Steve Brown. Thank you to our
Absolutely.
Other host,
Steve,
Warren
we hopefully
Jackson.
Hear you from you next week.
Yeah, that was awesome. So Absolutely. Thank you to Robin, our sponsor for WXRP Radio, and we'll be back next week to dig in deeper. See, this is all tying into where we are right now in our politics and in our society, the matrix.
That's right. Drake, give people your money back. Yeah, Drake, we need the recognition all around. It don't stop there. It keeps going.
Thank you, Sophia Stewart. Dr. Stewart, our sensei, our guru. Thank you.
Absolutely.
The Oracle.
Y'all next week. Thanks for calling in. Everybody that's on the line, sorry we couldn't get to you. We'll get
you
next week, so listen again.
Thanks for all the people waiting.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And music.